Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What Did I Get Anyway? The talk show.
Where our goal is to make the world a polite place to live, one person at a time. And here are your hosts, HR and customer service expert Denise Harding, and etiquette and image expert, speaker and author, also known as Etiquette Lady Donna Page.
Right.
Well, good evening, happy Sunday, and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. Today is Sunday, June 26, 2011, and we are broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. It has been a beautiful day here today, although currently we are expecting a thunderstorm. But we are going to continue our conversation discussing travel etiquette. This is Travel Etiquette Part 3. I'm Donna Page Riley, also known as the Etiquette Lady.
And good evening. My name is Denise Harding. I am the HR Lady.
Denise, how are you?
I am doing well. A little bit hot,
great,
but I'm doing okay.
Yeah, it's been a beautiful day. Of course, we are expecting thunderstorms. I can actually hear the thunder right now, so hopefully we'll be able to complete the show without any type of interruption.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, you guys, the name of the show is What is Etiquette Anyway? And since we have new listeners that are listening every week, we basically like to answer that question when we begin our show. And etiquette is just simply a set of rules of behavior, and by using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. I know that's what I want. What about you, Denise?
Oh, by all means.
The word etiquette itself comes from an old French word meaning ticket. It later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Now, Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court, and whereby these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. So that's a little bit of the backstory about etiquette. And I always say that if you don't necessarily remember all the details and the background information, just simply remember that etiquette is a fancy word for manners, and please, please make sure that you mind your manners, okay? All right, guys, well, this is Travel Etiquette Part 3. Denise, of course, last week was Part 2, and of course, we've been talking about traveling by air, traveling by cruise ship, traveling by bus, and so whether you travel plane, train, automobile, or whichever way you travel, this is certainly going to be of interest to you. And I had gotten a couple emails stating whether or not was this just geared toward vacation. And no, it is not. Whether you are traveling for vacation or whether you're traveling for business, you are certainly welcome to send us correspondence, or you can call us. As a matter of fact, let me give you our contact information. It's area code 347-324-3295. Once again, area code 347-324-3295. And you can feel free to shoot us an email if you prefer. And our email address is etiquetteladies@gmail.com. Once again, it's etiquetteladies@gmail.com. Well, Denise, what's your preferred method of traveling when you have to travel?
And you know, it depends on the trip. I say if it's more than 4 hours of driving, I want to fly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. sounds like me. we used to do, my mother, when she was living, she loved to travel by car a lot, and she just loved, you know, to be able to take in the scenery. And so we drove a lot by car, and then for the longer trips, she preferred to fly, but she really loved car. But I really prefer myself, you know, anything, if it's 2 to 4 hours maybe, but preferably really 2 hours. If it's, you know, over 2 hours by automobile, put me in the air. Okay. Well, you guys, we are going to kind of review some of the things that we talked about, and also we have a special guest with us this evening, and I am going to be glad to bring her on. We've been talking, Denise, of course, you know, about as you're traveling, you want to make sure that you take safety precautions, because I know last week we were saying that oftentimes when people travel, especially for vacation, just like when shopping for the holidays, many times what happens is we get kind of lackadaisical because of our excitement. So we actually have an expert on with us this evening, and she's going to be giving us, you know, several tips about things that we should make sure that we do while we are traveling. So I'm going to be excited to bring her on in just a bit. As a matter of fact, let's see if Laurie is with us. Laurie?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Laurie. How are you?
I'm great, Donna. How are you?
We're doing just great. Thanks so much. Listen, if you would, Laurie, just tell everybody who you are, the name of your company, and we can just kind of go straight into some of, you know, giving us some of the tips that you think would be most appropriate when one is traveling.
Okay. Well, my name is Laurie Reeder. I, along with two other partners, own a company called Empowered to Be. And we started out selling safety items basically just to college girls is how we got started, because several years ago my daughter went off to college, and I couldn't control her surroundings anymore. So we decided, long story short, we went into business and we started selling those personal safety items, and it just kind of snowballed from there. We now sell law enforcement or public safety equipment to different agencies. But we also teach a seminar called Refuse to Be a Victim. And I'm a certified instructor, and we teach these all over the place to various audiences. And one of the sections in there is on travel security, and that's what you're interested in. So that's what I'm here to talk about a little bit tonight. Before you even begin to travel, there's some safety precautions you must take in your home. Try to park, because people that are, you know, canvas homes, they canvas neighborhoods looking for people that are out of town and gone for a period of time. So before you even start to travel, you need to take some precautions in your own home. And that, or a few are parking a car in your driveway, have somebody visit your home at irregular intervals, put trash out at the collection point. If you have, you know, the trash man come in once a week, you know, make sure that trash is put out. Have somebody mow your lawn when necessary. Don't let everything grow up around your house. Pick up your mail on a daily basis, and your newspapers and any kind of mail, you know, junk mail that people throw out, make sure that's cleaned up. And just have somebody, you know, kind of looking after your home, make periodic inspection of the premises, and that way somebody will look like they're there. And unlikely, somebody that's canvassing your home, vacant home, they won't try to break in there. So before you even leave, that's what you should do.
That's a great idea. Let me ask you this. Can I ask you this, Laurie? Oftentimes, people don't think that they should have their mail stopped unless they're going to be gone for a certain amount of days, like maybe a week or something. But if they're gone maybe 2, 3, or 4 days, it may not be necessary for them to have their mail stopped. But you're saying that basically have someone either get your mail or they mm-hmm. probably should have their mail stopped. So mm-hmm. talk about that a little bit, because some people are confused. They think, well, I'm only going to be gone like 4 or 5 days, so why have the mail stop when, you know, I'm not going to, it's not like I'm gone for 2 weeks.
Right, right. Well, for several reasons, a couple just off the top of my head. Again, if you have somebody canvassing neighborhoods and anybody suspects that you may be gone, that's one good place to start to look to see if mail is starting to pile up in your mailbox. That's a good tip to a criminal that nobody's there getting their mail. Another reason you should get your mail is there's so much identity theft out there these days. Mm. I mean, so much. People, and think about what comes in your mail, pre-approved mm-hmm. credit cards. You know, all the, you know, such an easy target for somebody that's looking to steal somebody's identity. So it's definitely either one. You could have your mail stopped or have somebody just go by there, have a neighbor pick it. A trusted neighbor pick it up once a day. You know, most neighbors would be glad to do that for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. So now that we've prepared to leave, what should we do at that point?
Well, it depends on whether you're, if you're flying. For instance, if you're getting on an airplane, the luggage tag on your luggage, then you start with that before you even leave for the airport. You have your information on the luggage tag. I would do two things. I would make sure if you work outside the home, have your office address and identification on the luggage tag, not your personal information, and also either turn it backwards, so only the inside is, you know, if you somebody has to reach in there and turn it over and look at it, or a lot of them have flaps, because you just don't want to, here again, people are so savvy these days, criminals are, and they can pick up any information. They could read it off your luggage tag, and you could become a target there. So that's a good just starting out to do. Also, when you get to the airport, make sure you see that SkyCap putting your luggage on the conveyor belt. Don't just leave it there, because if you just leave it with them, trust that he's going to do it, somebody could just come by and pick it up very easily. Try not to look affluent when you're traveling. Here again, you become a target that way. If you've got some Louis Vuitton luggage, I'd leave that at home and carry something a little less noticeable. You don't want to bring attention to yourself. Don't, you know, travel with lots of jewelry, you know, and diamonds and so forth, because here again, you're a target for a criminal. I would make a list of your contents in your suitcase and keep one copy of that list at home in case your suitcase gets stolen, and carry your valuables on the plane with you, not underneath the, in the, you know, underneath the plane in your bigger suitcase.
Wow.
So, and here, just try to keep your luggage in front of you when you're carrying it. Don't, you know, if you're at a ticket counter, don't set it down and look around, because people could just come snatch it up very easily. So,
yeah.
That's if you're traveling on a plane. If you
great.
Renting a, I don't know how much more you want, but if you're renting a car somewhere, here again, you've got to not look like a tourist. When you rent the car, make sure you've got a good tank of gas, and make sure you know where you're going. Don't get in that car and go sit on the side of the road and pull out a map. Here again, you become a target for a predator out
wow.
there. So just to keep in mind.
Of course, Laurie.
Hmm?
I'm sorry, Laurie. In case anyone is just joining us, we are discussing travel etiquette security. We have with us is Laurie Reed, who is one of the owners of Empowered to Be, and she's giving us some fabulous tips on just being safe while traveling. Well, actually, she started out with talking about how to prepare your house to be safe and not to look as though no one is there. And we're going to come back in just a moment and let Laurie continue. We'll be right back.
What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show is sponsored by Pages Etiquette Seminars, LLC. Pages Etiquette Seminars provides both personal and professional development training for all ages and offers motivational and training materials such as What is Etiquette Anyway? By Donna Page Riley, a book about manners for children, but grown-ups can read it too. This book covers introductions, writing thank yous, table and telephone manners, and much more. In addition to the book, What is Executive Etiquette Anyway? Key ingredients for building successful working relationships. Some of its contents include how to master the art of networking, business over lunch, and how to impress your interviewer, only to name a few. Pages Etiquette Seminars, that's www.pagesetiquette.com, www.pagesetiquette.com.
Okay, guys, we are back, and we are discussing travel etiquette. And as we just before we left, Lon Reed was giving us some information and some great tips, safety tips, and things that we should really make sure that we remain aware of as we're traveling. I know, Denise. Denise, I know you have... you're pulling emails, is that right?
I do have a couple, but this one is, yes, I do have a couple.
Okay, because I know you have some, but I was going to say I have one email that just came in. This is regarding you, Laurie. It's asking about do you have products and do you ship them overseas?
We do have products. It depends on the product that you buy. We can ship overseas, sure, but it depends on, like I said, the product. Some of the personal protection devices like stun guns and pepper sprays are restricted, particularly in the UK. So I would probably not do that. A lot of our public safety items, of course, they're international. So, and then a lot of the other stuff, like, you know, things that aren't restricted, of course, we can ship anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that came from Karen Tart in Columbus, Ohio. And being a female, I'm going to think maybe she's thinking of something like mace or something like that. She did not specify. But
right.
Probably,
if she goes on our website, which is empoweredtobe.com, it gives you the list of restricted. There's some states in the United States that pepper sprays and stun guns are restricted, but not a lot. But it gives a list of what is restricted and what is not on our website. So if she's wondering, she could do that.
Okay, great. Okay, want to go to our phone. Let's see. Extension 3632. Hello. Thanks for calling What is Etiquette Anyway? Hello? 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 Can you hear me? Hello? If you can hear me, if you would, let's see. Okay, extension 3632. Hello?
Hello?
Okay, hi there. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for calling What is Etiquette Anyway? We're part three of travel etiquette. What would you like to discuss?
This is something probably a good laugh for everybody, because I don't know if this has happened to many people traveling.
Mm-hmm.
But I flew to California, and it was a full flight. My seat was in the very back, about two rows from the restroom, and also the engine was back there. So the bathroom got really smelly, and, of course, the engine was very noisy, and it was just one of the worst flights I have had in a long time. So that right there shows you how you can have some good etiquette. It's like, do I get up and complain about it? It's already a full flight. There's nowhere for me to go. Of course, the bathroom was where it was. You couldn't do anything about it, so I just had to sit, grin, and bear it.
Sure. I know. Last week, Denise, we had someone called in last week, and they were talking about people pulling off their shoes, and their feet were smelling so fresh.
Oh, my God. I don't know what's worse.
Well, I know, right?
Yeah, so, I don't know what's worse.
right, because for, you know, both of those examples, I mean, how do you even know who it is?
Exactly. I never get out of my seat, though, when I fly.
I guess it'd be the person without shoes, huh?
I can't. But, yeah, you guys, in case you're just joining us, we were talking about travel etiquette. And, of course, we've been talking about training or traveling via airplane, automobiles, cruises, buses, so on and so forth. And we did have an email that I pulled that it said, please discuss, etiquette ladies, please discuss tipping again. I caught the end of the segment. This is Danielle from Jackson, Mississippi. Certainly, Danielle, I'll be glad to go over tipping. A lot of people don't realize that you should tip on cruise ships, and that's what she was referring to. Housekeeping, you want to tip housekeeping a couple of dollars per night. And of course, when you request additional towels or toothpaste, or you want to leave an additional $1, $1.50 or something for them when you're requesting the additional items. And just put in an envelope on a daily basis and mark that envelope housekeeping. As far as sky caps, usually people tip a dollar to a couple of dollars per bag. And if you have a really large bag, you want to tip a little bit more, okay? And also, as far as the bags, just want to refer back to what Laurie just said about your bag. Make sure that you flip your tags, your name tags, flip them over. And then you also want to stay there until you see that they have put your bag on the conveyor base. That's a really great tip. As far as red caps, these are train porters, usually a couple of dollars per bag. The Pullman attendants, you know, $1 to $2 per bag. And, of course, you know, you always want to tip the waiter or the waitress. And the minimum generally is 15%. And, of course, if you receive exceptional service from the waitstaff, tip them certainly 20% or more. And, of course, the bellhop, dollar to a couple of dollars per bag as well. Room service, you want to tip. Generally, theirs is 15% of the bill as well. But you do want to check and see if it's already been added. So you do want to double check if it's awesome. Sometimes a room service, they will automatically add the 15% into your bill. So you want to take a look and just kind of check and see if that is the case. Your garage attendant, taxis, usually for the attendants, it's about $2 to $5. And then for taxis, it's generally, again, 15% of the fare, okay? And Danielle, as far as tips, specifically cruise, you want to tip 15% basically of the cost of the cruise, okay? And your room stewards, $3 to $5 a day, and that's per person, not per room. And your waiter, the same. The busboy, a couple dollars per person. So we want to remember that anytime we travel, you do want to budget enough for the tipping, you know, for your people that are providing you services, okay, if you would do that. Denise, I'm going to turn it over to you because I know you have emails.
Laurie, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, great. This one might be geared to you. I'm just going to read it. I'm going to ask you to give us a little bit of what you think about this. But it says, hey, ladies, try driving in Europe. It's a whole new set of rules than in the USA, like driving on the left side of the road in certain cities. It is a great experience. Try it sometime. Love you, ladies. This is Brian Rogers in St. Petersburg, Florida. And I wanted to ask Laurie what she thinks about driving in other countries. I mean, I have been in countries where it's the left side. I don't feel comfortable. And then, of course, you don't really know where you're going. So can you speak to that for me?
Mm-hmm. Well, he brought up a good point. That is a good point because that was another thing I was going to say. When you do travel to other countries, not only the driving, but you need to be aware of the laws in that country. For instance, as far as cars go, I know in Denmark, your headlights must always be on when driving. So, not just when it's raining like it is here, they have to always be on to distinguish it from parked cars. That's against the law not to drive without your headlights on. So it's real important to know the laws and, the traffic laws as well when you're in other countries. The main thing as far as traveling or anything, just walking around here, I live in the Atlanta area also, try not to look like a predator. You know, you walk around with confidence. I don't know how old you ladies are, but I'm around 50. I am 50. And I remember when I was a kid, I used to walk Wild Kingdom. It was on. I don't even know if that's still on anymore. But I remember noticing the lion, the big lion in the brush, looking out for prey. And it would always target the most vulnerable prey out there. Well, society does the same thing, the predators out there in our society. Well, so we must not look vulnerable. And don't look like prey to a predator. So, you know, it's common sense tips and common sense techniques that you can, if you just think about it, you can avoid dangerous situations.
Okay. Great. Very good. And a lot of it is, we talk about this all the time, a lot of it is common sense, right, ladies?
Exactly.
Yeah, but we always say on this show that common sense is not necessarily so common. Here's another email. It says, etiquette ladies, what should you do when someone wants to talk to you and you just simply want to rest? And this comes from Bob Browner. It looks like B-R-O-N-E-R. Bob Browner from Pittsburgh. Well, Bob, I'm glad you asked that because that was part of, I wrote an article regarding vacation. It's not the time to leave manners at home. And one of the things that I said in that article was if you are in a chatty mood or you want to talk and you're excited or whatever, please check first to see if your neighbor feels like talking. It can be very irritating when someone constantly wants to chat with you and you want to rest, read, or complete an assignment. You want to be clear. Bob, I heard you say amen. So, make sure that you just kind of check to see if someone, you know, is interested in talking or if they want to rest. Something else that I did not mention is that as far as kids, I know someone had called in, I think, last week about someone kicking the back of their seat while they were traveling. And please do not allow your children to do that and just simply turn around and just kind of make sure that the parent is aware of what that's going on. And it's not necessarily what you say, but it is how you say it. And as far as children, too, please make sure that with your children, do not allow them to play with the controls, you know, to have your seat go forward and back and, you know, to call the attendant. So make sure you monitor that. Well, guys, we are out of time. Thank you all so much for calling. I'm sorry we did not have an opportunity to get to all the callers or answer all the emails. Certainly want to thank the callers for calling in. Thank you, Laurie, as well.
My pleasure.
Her website is M, that's the letter M, powered to B, okay? That is her website. Please go and check her out. I know one of the ladies had asked about products. You'll be able to certainly view all of that. And, of course, each week we like to talk about acts of kindness. It says, hello, ladies. My name is Samson Cold, and my family and I listen to your show weekly. My 7-year-old son and I were shopping in a supermarket when a lady pulled a box of spaghetti off the shelf and many other boxes fell down. My son, Jodeci, asked if he could help the lady pick them up. I said, sure, and I helped too. The lady was so surprised to see we were so helpful, and she kept thanking us. My son told her that we listened to the manners lady, and she says to be kind to people. We felt good. And this was Ron and Jodeci Canton in Savannah, Georgia. Oh, that is wonderful. And you guys, we certainly do ask you each week to please make sure that you initiate an act of kindness and certainly feel free to let us know about it. Well, thanks again, you guys, for supporting our show and listening. Remember, if you have an etiquette question or a topic even that you would like for us to discuss, please feel free to let us know. Be sure to tell your friends and family about our show and invite them to listen. After all, our goal is to make the world a polite place to live. Remember, never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. That comes from Proverbs 3:3. Again, thanks so much for listening. Good night. Take care. And God bless.
Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to What is Etiquette Anyway? The Talk Show, where our goal is to make the world a polite place to live. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next time when we'll discuss another exciting topic.